One. Hi, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO
BS.
All right, tonight we've got big star. David H. Lawrence the 17th is going to be with us. We're going to talk about his Rehearsal Pro, .pro app for all you actors out there, and some other cool stuff about acting. And we've got the news, and you've got...
Got a little video package from Allison Packard Studio that I had the pleasure of designing. Hopefully that isn't too boring and you find it kind of educational.
All right. Well, we'll be doing that now.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere, together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years of experience in broadcasting and recording, and the myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop. And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO
BS.
All right. All right, well, this is how I'm going to have to do the show tonight. Just maybe get me some paper clips or some clamps or something, and you know, so I can stay awake.
Clockwork Orange style?
Yeah. Was at FAFCON all weekend in Minneapolis. Fine town. Did not get to see much of Minneapolis, but it was. Yeah. But the hotel was very nice.
Nice.
It was a great weekend. Amy, if you're watching, it was a great weekend. I know there's a lot of our fans that were also there with me, and they know why I have to do this.
Right.
While we have a great
show. Half of them are probably asleep by now.
Yes. Well, including moi. But we can talk a little bit more about that as well. Also, David H. Lawrence the 17th is with
sitting
us.
Right over there.
We can actually almost get a shot of him, and he can like wave and stuff. All right.
There he is.
All right. And we're going to talk about rehearsal.pro.
Mm-hmm.
And
revolutionary, evolutionary.
And I know.
Extremely helpful application.
Thank you.
Actors.
You're going to have to be riding shotgun
will,
for me here
tonight.
I will
fill in the blanks, man. When you drop, if there's more than a 1 second gap, I'll be right there.
Go for it.
Promise.
All right. Well, let's test my reading ability here.
Before that, let's thank our sponsors.
Oh, why? Because I can't read.
Harlan Hogan.
VoiceOver Extra.
Edge Studio.
Source Elements.
Rehearsal App and Viotagogo.
And Antland Productions, where you can get yourself a killer demo. All righty,
right.
Then.
Now
it's now time for...
Now, the VoiceOver Extra, VOBS News. The latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news. Brought to you live.
All righty, here's the VoiceOver Extra VOBS news. Full-time voiceover. Many of you did so well last week with our hand-raising exercises that we've got another question for you tonight. Raise your hand if you're a part-time voice actor now with the goal of someday quitting your day job and doing voiceovers full-time. Okay, good. Being here at VOBS every Monday night already puts you way ahead of others, okay? And it also reveals your mindset to succeed. In other words, your attitude, how you think about where you are now and what's needed to make the next steps to full-time. In fact, the next step is the title of a webinar that was presented by VoiceOver Extra featuring the advice of VoiceOver pro and coach, our good friend Larry Hudson, who himself went from part-time to full-time voice acting in just 2 years. Let's crimp some of the advice from that webinar, starting with mindset. According to Larry, you need to prepare for work, patience, and impeccability at every level. You'll have to wear all the hats of a small business, voice talent, chief financial officer, head of marketing, head of research, information technology, webmaster, engineer, director, head of production, and you can add a few more. It's a big elephant, but you can take it on one bite at a time. A key factor is to stay in action, keep moving toward your goal, and in these three key areas. Number one, training and education. Spend your money and time on this first. Learn from good coaches like David here. Join workout groups. Listen to your competition, for instance, at voicebank.net, and read out loud everything you can get your hands on. Even if you haven't done a demo yet, make sure you do that and avoid the predators. And don't do it before you actually get a lot of training. Number two, technical skills. Master your recording and editing program now before you audition or land jobs. Keep up with industry standards and what you need to do to sound your best. And number three, marketing. Know this, you have to go after work. It doesn't get handed to you. Agents are just one avenue, and you'll find work everywhere, no matter where you live and where you look. Good organization is also crucial, beginning with how you organize things on your computer. Set up folders and files so that you can find everything fast. And if you need help with setting something up, get help from those who can give it to you. Finally, create a structure for achieving your goals, recognizing milestones, and schedule your tasks on a calendar. Hold yourself to that schedule. Create a plan and stay in action every day, every week, and every month. Be patient and fill yourself with positive energy. Details about achieving this are in our two-hour webinar recording that you'll find listed in the training column on the homepage of voiceoverextra.com, and check out all the other hundreds of free how-to articles and resources there.
Nice job for a guy who's like barely awake, I have to say.
Okay.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well, I've got a little video. It's not little. It's about 10 minutes long, but it covers chronicles the build-out of a studio that I helped with for Allison Packard.
Cool.
And without further ado.
Building it from scratch.
With my bare. No, I didn't have. I put the equipment in, and I put the acoustics up. But everything else was contractors.
Cool.
This is a pretty big job.
Let's see it.
There it is. Hey everybody, it's George Whittam reporting for Whittam's World. Well, this is a cool episode this week because it's the culmination of about a half a year's work, and that is the design and build out of Allison Packard's voiceover recording studio. We started it, and I'm looking at the photos right now with the date stamps in February. February 8th is when I first saw the site, and we finished the job build out based on the photo log here August 12th. It's amazing. I know it sounds long, but a lot of that time was spent designing. So let's take a look at what I've compiled for you of Allison Packard's cute little tiny house recording studio. We are at Allison Packard's new studio location. Not much to see right now. It's just a 10 by 12 foot concrete slab. But if you can imagine, visualize, if you will, if I had a little 3D rendering software, I could show you there's going to be a building here. Imagine one of those tiny houses that you see on TV sometimes. It's going to be cool. We're going to enter right through here with the sliding door. There's going to be a window this way to the house. This may have a window here. I don't remember. No windows back here because who wants to look at a garage on this side? And there'll be a loft right over my head. So there'll be a loft that Allison can go up and take naps and chill on. It's going to be one hell of a lady cave.
And there's Allison Packard's husband right now. How you doing, man?
How are you?
Doing a little home and garden show. We're going to check out the studio progress and see how it's going. I hear saws, so that means there's framing going on. How you doing?
Good.
Let's go check it out. Once framing starts, it gets moving quick. How you doing? Yeah, they don't mess around, man. Once the framing gets going. Look at that beauty. Look at the size of that header, man. This thing's going to be built to stand for a long time. Does it look bigger now?
Yeah, it's huge.
Looks bigger than you. It's so hard to imagine it when it's a flat slab, right?
Yeah.
And when you see it.
Oh, okay.
How you doing, man?
Yeah,
George.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, bro. Looking good. Look how they have it bolted, carriage bolted to the foundation. This sucker's not sliding off the foundation. Look at the size of that carriage bolt.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Awesome. Checking out the build at a very, very critical stage of this build process. This is the stage where we're looking at the interior frame to see if the interior frame has been built correctly before insulation goes in and then drywall. Super critical time, because if we don't catch any mistakes in the build at this stage, those mistakes are going to be covered in drywall and we will not be able to fix them later. It's done. However, looking around, I did notice that there was a couple spots that had what we call shorts in the design, short outs in the install. And that is one right there. See where the screw goes through the steel and into the wood? That's what we call a short. There's another one up here as well. So that's the kind of thing that I'm looking for, because even though it doesn't seem like much, it seems pretty insignificant, a little short like that can join the two together as though you have a bridge of a guitar. So imagine the bridge of a guitar that has strings stretched across it. It's just a tiny, tiny point of contact where the strings touch the bridge. But that transmits all of the sound from the string into the rest of the guitar. The same thing can happen with a short like this. So very careful not to have those. We'll have the framer come back and cut those nails and get rid of those little short outs. So I'm going to do a walkthrough with our contractor and have him take a look. Make sure that we all cross our T's and dot our I's on these little things. These details seem insignificant, but they may transmit noise into this room and negate all the efforts and costs involved to build a room like this. And of course, here's our insulated, or our silent, or very, very quiet, not silent, but very quiet air conditioning unit. It's called a mini split ductless unit that goes up on the wall. And all of the lines that supply the condenser into the unit and the drain work all has to be routed to the outside. So there's the drain work going down and through the exterior studs. And then we have the supply lines to the air conditioning unit that have to go all the way around to the outside to where the condenser will live. So go around back, the condenser unit should be out there. And there it is. There's the condenser. Needless to say, the studio will stay cool, no problem at all. It's about week 9. Let's see how the place looks. Look at this place. Is that cute or what? Look at the wood they put on the side of this building. Man, I never imagined that the slat wood sides would give it so much personality. So cool. And they did a clever thing to, you know, to keep the cost under in check. Instead of doing wood all the way around, because wood's a lot of maintenance costs, they just stuck with stucco on the back side. So the back two sides are stucco. It's the first time I've been here since the windows are put in and the double sliding patio doors have been put in. So let's take a look. Let's close the outer patio door. Let's close the inner patio door. That's pretty quiet. Pretty quiet, but one heck of an echo chamber, as you can hear. So that's going to be a next part of the project. Now that the floor has been surfaced, nice. But yeah, it's come together beautifully. We are so close, I can taste it. So you can hear, this is what a completely untreated acoustic space sounds like. It's almost a 2-second reverb time in here.
takes 2 seconds for a snap to die away. Maybe even longer. So we need to get that reverb time down from 2 seconds down to 1/10 of a second. Congrats, Allison. We're getting really close.
Hey everybody, George Whittam here at Allison Packard's studio. We're just about at the end of the line on this project. There's a couple little details, as there always are, left over. One of them is to have this ladder replaced with a proper rolling library style ladder, which will be up there eventually. That's a project that's out of my purview for sure. But we've added 2 more acoustical panels to the ceiling to deaden down the room just a little bit more as per Allison's request. Everything that's going to be in here pretty much is in here now. We've got the piano, we've got piano bench, the love seat, rug, and now we have the new electric lift desk. Check this thing out. The desktop is, you can order any size you want, any shape you want. You can order only the legs if you want. It's called an uplift desk, and if you want to work at a higher height, maybe you're reading your script off the screen, just raise it up. Want to sit down, kick back, and relax? Yeah, baby. And I've attached the rack at the bottom, suspended below, to hold all her equipment. Let's turn on that preamp and get that baby warmed up. It's been really great working on this project, Allison and Jason. Thank you so much for trusting me with this pretty big deal of a project. It's been really a huge pleasure, and I'm just excited to have you in your new space. It's a lovely space to be, hang out, work, and chill whenever you need to take a load off. So, a lot of fun getting this studio together for you. Peace.
I could not be happier with my home studio. George has been amazing to work with. Not only did he design the structure, he also was the project manager, worked with my general contractor, literally hung all the acoustic panels, installed my software on my computer. He's been indispensable to this project. And not only that, when you take on a project this size, it's a bit nerve-wracking because not only are we trying to build a standalone structure that's an isolation booth in and of itself in the flight path of the Burbank Airport, but I also wanted it to be a beautiful and inspiring space to work in, and I wanted a little area for relaxation and meditation, and George was able to hear my creative vision and make it a reality. And I am so happy with the final product, and I just can't believe that it all came together perfectly. So thank you so much, George, for helping to make my vision a reality.
Well, thanks a lot for watching that. I hope you found that entertaining and maybe a little bit educational and perhaps inspiring for your own studio project. If you've got any questions for me, I'd love to answer them right here on Whittam's World. Send them in to whittamsworld@edgestudio.com. If you have technical needs and you want help with your studio or want to learn how to record or anything in that regard, you can now find that at edgestudio.com right on the homepage. Just click on the tech department and you'll be right into the world of technology of Edge Studio. And of course, you can always give us a call at 212-868-3343. Thanks for watching. This has been George Whittam for Whittam's World. See you guys.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running, and the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon, and the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
We lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun.
Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Voiceover Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
Hey, everybody. This camera over here. This is fancy. Thanks for watching VOBS. I need to talk about one of our sponsors right now. And is this the right camera? That really messes me up when I look. Never mind. This is like amateur hour. VOBS is sponsored by Source Elements. SourceElements.com. They are the creators of, and that's Source-Elements.com, by the way. They're the creators of Source Connect. What is Source Connect? If you are a talent that's kind of getting up to the next level, the next echelon, where you're asked to connect to studios and do sessions real time, being directed by a booth director or something of that nature, you definitely want to look into Source Connect. It's one of the new technologies that's, well, not that new, but it's kind of new on the scene in the world of production of voiceover that allows you to connect to another studio in real time and really high audio quality. And it has been around long enough to get themselves established in a lot of the big studios in Hollywood and around the world. And it's something you should probably investigate. So if you are thinking of going ISDN, or you wanted to go ISDN but found out it's not available, or it's going to cost you more than a payment on a BMW 325i, then you might want to check out Source Connect. You can get a 15-day free trial at source-elements.com and start trying it right away without an iLock. You don't have to have an iLock to try their software now. Or you can also try out their Source Connect Now software, which is completely free and in beta. And you can connect to anybody on any computer that runs Chrome with Source Connect Now. So check that out as well. Thanks a lot, Source Elements. We really appreciate you sponsoring VOBS, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VOBS.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at the new Edge Studio.
VoiceOver Body Shop. Learn the latest in voiceover technology. Learn how to get rid of that. VoiceOver Body Shop. 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on VOBS.us.
And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. And our guest tonight, a great friend of our show, a guy who's very accomplished at that acting thing.
Sounds like something I bear throughout life, and it's horrifying.
Yeah, but no,
you know that acting thing?
That acting thing, yeah. Because
you look awesome. Oh, yeah, you really do. When you were doing that thing before with you were holding your eyes, it's like you were getting LASIK.
I know.
It's like if you act before midnight, we'll give a $1,500 CT scan. You know? So,
really? So yeah. David H. Lawrence, the 17th.
Hey,
welcome
Dan.
Back to VoiceOver Body Shop.
Thank you so much. And hey, George.
Hey, brother.
Hi, man.
Welcome back. You were here for our first episode ever.
I was.
And it's been a year.
And for your birthday and
other things,
in between. I brought you a gift this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because...
It's like a bar of soap from
a
hotel?
It's a bar of soap from the hotel. Yeah, I picked up two of them because I asked the maid for an extra one as I was leaving.
Good.
Her cart was right outside the door. So this is one of the perks that we gave to people who backed us in our Indiegogo campaign for Rehearsal.pro.
Nice.
These are both power sticks, you know, little power sticks that you can extend the life of your... And what we called it was the deeply into rehearsal perk.
Ah.
And basically what happens is, you know, you're rehearsing and then your phone's power is like down to 10%.
Yeah.
Right? So,
these are nice.
Cranky.
Yeah. Man, oh man.
Isn't that great?
Specialty advertising business is a great thing.
Yeah. Where did I get those? Staples Advertising Specialties.
All right.
No way. Absolutely.
They have a whole thing called Staple Products that will put your logo on anything, and I mean anything.
That is fantastic.
So, by the way, you can get the VoiceOver Body Shop logo on anything at our store, too, but we'll talk about that later.
You guys use, what are you using?
What are we
right
using?
Now we're using
Cafe Press.
Cafe Press?
Demand, Cafe
yeah.
Press.
Yeah. Yeah, Cafe Press is awesome.
Yeah, it is. Real easy. Just go there. You can, you know.
There's not a single thing you can't get the logo on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Even a G-string.
A G-string and a shower curtain.
That's perfect. Right.
So that's coming up next. Anyway.
I suggest you buy them as a combo. Okay, moving on.
That works.
Exactly. So anyway. That acting thing.
Yeah, what about it?
Tell us a little bit more about yourself. Like, where you're from originally, and how you got into acting and stuff.
So I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio.
Down shore from me.
Yeah, and down ashore. And I moved to New York City. New York City? Moved to New York City in the early 80s. And I just decided this today. I was actually talking about this if I had it to do all over again, I probably would have come out here.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have had the same life experience that I had, but it was great. I moved to New York. I was really heavy into radio.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the founding members of the American Comedy Network, which was the preeminent morning show prep service throughout the 80s and 90s. And we were coincidental with the Z Morning Zoo, the right. Z100 yeah. Morning Zoo. Yeah.
For those of you not in radio, that's like you would send out the jokes for the day and...
Mostly pre-produced bits, fake commercials, song parodies. Oh. One of the songs that we were known for was Breaking Up Is Hard on You, when the phone company broke up.
Right.
And we came back. We knew it was happening, so we released it, and it got played on the stations that we already had, which is like two or three.
Right.
And the CBS network picked it up and played it on the New Year's Eve news. And so we came back, and our answering machine mm-hmm. was broken with all of the calls from the stations across the country that wanted to get a copy of it.
Right.
And we picked up like 150 affiliates in 2 months.
Oh,
it was crazy.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Yeah. And that's how stations in Moline can sound like they're in Hollywood.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We used to do something that was really cool. Do you know the Music Minus One discs? You ever heard of those?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So we did that with comedy. So we would leave off the funny guy, and so the local DJ, the morning host, would fill it in, and man, they sounded really funny, right? So, and we had a great crew, and we had some of the best writers. They would come up from New York to Connecticut, where we were based. We had Maxine Lapidus, who did Roseanne, and did, you know, a number of, she became a showrunner, and we had Bob Saget, and we had all these people that were really funny. We would bring them up for a day, and we'd knock out a bunch of bits, and it was great. Anyway, so I did radio for a long time, and then in 2003, there was a really bad weather storm in the D.C. area, which is where I was working at the time after doing syndicated radio and morning show radio and all that. It was like 35 years in radio, and... this snowstorm just killed me. I'm like, I can't wait to get out of here and go somewhere else, and that somewhere else must be Los Angeles.
Sound familiar?
Well, and the thing is, you know, talk about, you know, they laughed when I sat at the piano. Mm-hmm. When I told people that at age 46, I was going to go be an on-camera actor in Hollywood, I mean, I think there were, you know, noise laws that were broken by how loud people were laughing at me. And, you know, I'm just one of these people that I use the Abraham Lincoln method. I mean, you know, I train as well as I can. I use some of the business skills that I learned doing radio, and the technology has always been, as George knows, really a big part of my life.
Right.
And so those three things together, the art, the commerce, and the science, I trained for 5 years after moving here, and then truly my first big break was what most people know me from, which is a show called Heroes.
Yeah.
And I was on that show for 3 seasons, and I've done probably 100 and... Yeah, exactly.
That was a great role.
Yeah. You know, I've probably done... you know, 50 series since then, and a bunch of movies, a lot of work in ADR, and a lot of work on camera, and, you know, so my life right now is probably half spent doing acting, maybe a third providing support and development for rehearsal,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest of the time I teach voiceover with VO2GoGo. So,
what are there any projects you're working on now that you don't have an NDA you have to worry about?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I have some things coming out, and you know, and I'm doing some really cool stuff. But you know, it used to be you'd show up and you'd have like three sheets of paper to fill out. You know, your contract, your start form, and your W-9 or something. Right, you had to give them your ID.
Right.
Now, it's like you're buying a house.
Right.
You know? All the NDAs from the studio and the production company and the network and, you know, the sexual harassment. Like, I'm some sort of a problem. Everybody has to fill them out, you know?
Right. Yeah. As I tell my son as he looks up on the hill from the valley here and we see all these beautiful houses, he says, who lives up there? I said,
Lawyers.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, it's a lot of fun. And I just got finished doing a book that's actually going to be available tomorrow called A Season in Hell. Did that for Audible. And it's a story of the Canadian UN envoy who he and his team got kidnapped by Al-Qaeda. And it was there in Africa, and it was their story of survival. And did that over at Out Loud Studios, which was awesome. Mark is just a great guy over there.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to Wales for a con here coming up. Going to my 40th high school reunion.
Oh.
40th.
Wow.
And I'm like, and I'm watching the, you know, they have these, you know, in memoriam rolls. Mm-hmm. I'm watching it increase monthly.
Ooh.
You know, it's like, oh, seriously? Mm-hmm. I just feel, you just feel so old, you know?
Yeah. So you graduated in 76.
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
Just a year behind me.
1976. I was a bicentennial senior. I had over 10 times as many scholarships and you know, loans and grants available because all these companies were jumping on the, we're going to support our bicentennial seniors. So literally, the following year, the juniors that followed me, they're like, what happened to all the money? Where'd all the money go?
They got
totally effed over. So, yeah, and then I only spent a year and a month in college, and then I dropped out because I was already doing mornings at WNCI in Columbus. Mm-hmm. And I was doing what I wanted to do, and I figured I was making about, I don't know, six times what I thought I'd make when I got out 4 years later in 80. And so, you know, and again, the weather, which apparently plays a big role in my life, there was a huge snowstorm in 77, and
Yeah, I remember that one.
Like there wasn't one.
Yeah, it was well known in Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
so,
it was like, you know, 20 feet
well,
high.
Well, here I am in Columbus, Ohio, and and I'm fighting my way down 71 to get to Ohio State's campus, and instead of driving to Lot C, which I know is going to be completely, like, no spots available, after I get off the air, I drive right to the provost's office and park in his spot. and I withdrew. And they haven't heard from me since. They said, how long are you going to be gone? And I'm like, I have no idea. Maybe 4 decades, 5 decades, something like that.
Yeah, well, next time you go back, drop in and say,
I'm back. Yeah. What's going on with computer and information science? any advances? Anything
move?
Going on?
Yeah, was that a mover? Is that a degree with legs?
Yeah. What do you think about that? So
very
it was
cool.
Fun.
Yeah. So you're here in Hollywood. It's always great to see when you do a guest role, like
Thank you.
A coroner in a basement somewhere, and that's it's
yeah.
Like, hey, there's David. That's
yeah,
great.
It's always nice. What I love is seeing my friends get parts. I love when they get work.
Yeah.
And it drives my girlfriend crazy because I go, oh, that's, you know, John Smith. He was a client of mine. Or that's a guy I used to do workshops with. Or that's a guy I went to Howard Fine, you know, for acting class with. And she'll be like, can we just watch the show?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know how it is. So I was doing the commercials when I'm listening to all the VOs.
Yeah, exactly.
Tom on that one.
And then it's like, come on, can we just fast forward through the commercials? But yeah, I love when people get work, and I love when my clients get work. My clients and students, I just got finished doing the ACX Masterclass, and invariably when we do that class, before the class is over, somebody gets booked on a book. Or somebody gets their first, you know, offer, or they audition for something and they get picked. And it happened like an innumerable in the course of the 4 weeks or 5 weeks that we did the class. Hmm. So we're doing a live event coming up later this year for our graduates here in Los Angeles.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your coaching now. When did you start doing that, and what does that mean? I mean, we talk about it every week here.
Yeah. It's funny because I keep saying no to things that I eventually end up doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I moved here and people saw what I was doing, you know, with voiceover and they're like, how do you make money to be able to pursue your acting and stuff? Well, I do radio and I also do voiceover and you know, they listen to the demos, they say, hey, who made those? And I did. And so why don't you teach people how to do that? Why don't you teach people? And I'm like, I don't have time for this. I'm pursuing an on-camera acting career, my friends. I don't have time for this. So finally, after saying no for a few years, I thought, okay, I'll teach a commercial class, I'll teach a narration class, and I'll teach an IVR class, which a lot of people weren't doing. And right. It was my number one avenue of income for the longest time because I was AOL's voice. Mm-hmm. I was, and because they rented out their capacity after AOL was no longer the most likely suspect for you to be a member of, I became the voice for Gateway and for Volkswagen of America and for the ABC Disney retirement plan. And so I was making IVR money that was crazy. Because at some point, instead of, you know, using SAG-AFTRA's very audiobook-like formula for doing IVR, mm-hmm. I said $50 a prompt. Buy out $50 a prompt. It's, wow. You know, and people are willing to pay that. And sometimes people have 35 or 36,000 prompts they need done. So that's what happened to me since, you know, 1988 is when I started doing IVR for AOL when I was in D.C., and I stayed with them until they stopped doing support, like maybe 4 years ago. But in that time, I picked up all these other clients, and I thought, okay, I'm going to teach those three classes. And that turned into 10 classes, which turned into 36 classes. So now we've divided them up into the art classes, so commercials, narration, animation, audiobooks, etc., the art classes, the science classes, so mm-hmm. the technology, the microphones, the editing, the websites that you want to go to, and the commerce, so the business classes, you know, right. marketing and social networking and managing clients and projects, you know. And, you know, it's become a really important part of my life, that trifurcation. And so I'm now creating a new class that's built for all businesses, because in any business, if you're not good at all three of those things, you're right. in trouble.
It's like the three legs of the table.
Exactly.
Sort of like as they taught us at Amway. Not that I ever sold Amway.
You never sold Amway.
I know. And no. I never did. And because one of the legs was missing.
I see. So that's how it started. And every time somebody's like, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Nobody wants that. I don't have time for that. And eventually what happens is, you know, people like what you do or they don't, and what survives you continue to do. I mean, my definition of success is do more of what works and less of what doesn't. And so I'm constantly looking to see what I should focus on, what I should do. And same thing with acting. It's like, you know, when you get your brand and you understand, sometimes you receive your brand. I thought when I came here, because I'd done morning radio for so many years, I'd be goofy frat boy that never grew up, the crazy uncle next door.
Right.
No. Creepy evil villain. It was handed to me on a platter. And then maybe, you know, 2-3 years after that, then all of a sudden Disney, you know, started booking me on kids shows, and so I got to do that goofy frat boy that never grew up, or the school superintendent who was only at the meetings for the scones. You know, which is what I did on Ant Farm and Good Luck Charlie. I was like, oh, you know, grapes. I'm really successful as a guy that runs Quickie Chickie. I have the use of my parents' car like on the weekends, and I live over their garage rent free. You know, that kind of shit. So anyway, so I think that, you know, sometimes you are handed your mantle, and sometimes people fight that because they're like, creepy evil villain. What are you kidding me? I'm a romantic lead.
Villains have more fun.
Oh my God, do villains have more fun. I say that all the time. They get the coolest weapons.
Yeah.
They get the hottest chicks.
Right.
Yeah. The coolest layers.
At least before the end of the show.
Coolest layers.
The coolest layers. Yeah. The awesomest lines. Like, they get to say all the very funny lines that the dark, brooding, silent heroes are not allowed to say.
Right.
You know, the heroes get to say, and then the guy goes, oh, I'm sorry, is there something wrong? You know, like, I feel like I'm on an episode of Batman in the 1960s. Really, Batman? You know, but it's so much fun when you're the creepster, when you're the creepy guy. And, you know, there's one time I was at Dragon Con, and this guy comes up to me and he goes, my wife would like an autograph. And I'm like, well, where is she? And she goes, oh, she's hiding behind that pillar over there because you're too creepy. You know, and I look around and she's like kind of looking, and she goes, no, you know, so, yeah.
Now, one of the things that you've done is you've developed this app that I talk about almost every week here.
Yeah.
Well, actually, every week on this.
Because you're bored? How the heck did you have the time?
Where did you have
to
the time
to do something like this?
Well, here's the thing. I was working on Heroes, and I was in my agent's office on a Monday afternoon, like around 3 o'clock, and I was working the next day on set. And a call came in from a show called Community. Do you remember that show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great show.
So it's an NBC show. Yeah. So is Heroes. So it was for the next day. And he goes, oh, he's working on set the next day. What about Wednesday? And they said, no, we're going to make our decision tomorrow afternoon. If you can get him down to Paramount by the end of business today, which would have been 5:30,
right,
with the part learned, and there was a musical part because I was playing an accompanist,
mm-hmm,
but it was luckily just on Broadway by George Benson. So, two chords.
Right.
So, no big deal. But I had to learn my lines, and usually when I was learning my lines, I would go into my studio, and I'd flip on, Audacity, and then I'd export it as an MP3, and I'd play it over and over again in iTunes, right, until I learned my lines.
Right.
Well, I didn't have time to do that, so I had to learn how to do it with voice memo on my iPhone, which does not have a repeat function.
Oh.
So, all the way down the 101 from Studio City, where my agent is, to Paramount, which is in Hollywood on Melrose, right, I'm like weaving in and out of traffic on the 101 trying to find the soft play button to start things over again. And I'm like, there has to be an app for this, right? So as I'm driving onto the Paramount lot, my agent calls and says, no worries, they wrote the part out. So all that
no
work,
worries, yeah,
but that's okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait to get home and find out if there was an app for learning my lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I got home and there was one app. And it was horrifying.
Mm.
They wanted you to open up a share on your Windows device to get the PDF into the... And I'm like, no, come on. And it did. They had no idea how the business worked. So I thought, you know what? I want this. If nobody ever buys it, great. I'll have it. I'll spend some money and I'll get it developed. And I found a guy named Brian Robbins who is a huge Heroes fan. And we split we split the revenue on it for the first few years. And then his company got purchased. So I bought him out. But... basically, we developed an app that follows the same path that we follow in the real world in how we get our sides for auditions, our scripts for production, the process, the pre-read and the callback and the pins and the producer session and the chemistry reads, and everything is designed to work the way it works for professional actors. All my competitors, and there've been many, they're like geek boys who think they know how this business works,
right,
and they come up with things that sound good,
mm-hmm,
but, and stop me if I'm like rambling here, but
no,
they come up with things that they think sound good, but don't actually work well for actors. So for example, almost every day I get an email from somebody saying, why don't you let Siri read the other lines? Well, there's a couple of reasons. The biggest one is most of the scripts that we get for sides are not text PDFs, they're graphic PDFs, because the casting director has written start and stop and X and, the name and all that. So you'd have to do OCR, and it would just be a big hassle. But the most important reason is that Siri has absolutely no way of saying a line more than one way.
Right.
So if the line is, I love you.
I love you.
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
You can't say, I love you, or I love you so much.
Right.
Like there's a million different ways of saying the line. And you need to be prompted that way by saying the line the way you expect it to be said when you go do your audition or when you're working on set or whatever. But they insist on making that a center point of their stuff. And professional actors need much more than that. So the way we've done, the new version of Pro now has a whole bunch of features that let you sync between devices. So if I keep putting my hand in front of your face. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay, but you're the only one on camera.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't really matter.
Here, there we go.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. If you have an iPhone and you're working on your iPhone, now you can also work on that same script with the same highlights and scenes and everything on your iPad. And there's also some stuff for stage players, like if you do any theater at all, you're going to get a script that has been scanned in by the producer or the director opening the booklet, putting it on the thing,
it's
side by side, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So our app works with what's called single page continuous, which is what all television and film scripts are like.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get one of these things, you can't use the app, but you can now because we let you rotate the page and we let you crop individual pages from the pages that you have already, and that puts it in the right order, and then you can highlight things and everything, and it's awesome. It's just, there's over 150 new features in Rehearsal Pro that You know, I just got an email today.
What did you say? 150?
150.
Oh, yeah.
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 Jeez.
I mean, you know, just the syncing alone.
Mm-hmm. And are these features that became possible because of advances in the iOS
some of them.
Build kit or whatever?
Yeah, some of them. You know, like people, when they switch over from Rehearsal 2 to Rehearsal Pro, they're like, where's all my highlighting?
Right.
Where's all my markup? Mm-hmm. Well, Rehearsal 2 didn't have the ability to do that,
mm-hmm.
but Rehearsal Pro does. So now you just start with a new session, and you whatever your next project is, start with Rehearsal Pro, and you'll be able to do all that.
And you're able to do markup on the script and
highlights, scribbling. You can actually double tap on the script, and you can do things on your iPhone or your iPad that you can't do in real life. So if you had a piece of paper, you basically have a highlighter and a pencil or whatever, and you're going to write on it, and that's it.
Yeah.
But with Rehearsal, you can double tap anywhere on the script, and you can leave a text comment for yourself that you can see, an audio comment. So you can, like, I had a line for Burn Notice when I auditioned for Burn Notice. Mm-hmm. It was in Russian. Mm-hmm. I put the Russian line off to the side so I could practice that as well,
mm-hmm.
and then make a decision, a choice as to whether or not I wanted to put that into my audition. You can also do video. So you can actually use your iPad or your iPhone as a camera to see how mm-hmm. your line and your choices will play, or if you're a location scout. You can top of the scene is we open on a drugstore and you go and you find this drugstore. You can just do that established shot down to the front door of the drugstore, tack it on, and then send it off to the producer.
Wow.
So there's lots of really cool things that you can do with it. You can, and for voiceover people, it was the very first app that would email. In fact, it's the only one that I know of that will email an MP3 file
mm-hmm.
for your auditions, as opposed to Ogg Vorbis or AAC or any of the other formats that are native. So.
So it has the ability to actually record auditions and then send them places?
Correct.
How does it do that?
You can't edit, but
you can
for rough and dirty auditions, you sit in your car at the other end of the parking lot or whatever, right. or in the hotel room with the blanket over your head, and you do your audition, and then you just say, email MP3 as an audition, and and you say, where do you want to email to? You tell it, and what happens is it goes to our servers, we assemble it all together as an MP3, and then off it goes.
Wow, and it's all automated.
It's all automated, yeah. And we have people, I know of one particular client who has booked dozens of spots and narration pieces, all from her iPhone, speaking across the open microphone on the iPhone itself.
Right. Well, and iPhone has a great mic.
Yeah, really, because it has to manage, you know, wind noise and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. So when people say, what microphone should I plug into my iPhone? I say, unless you're going to use the Apple Connection Kit, camera connection kit, and plug in an actual, like an AT2020 USB Plus or something like that, don't use anything. Because any of the microphones that will plug into the headphone jack will actually make it less likely that the sound is as good as it is without one.
Yeah, we found that the Epigee mic works really good with an iPhone.
Uh-huh.
But the
iMic, right?
Yeah, the Epigee mic. Yeah, it's a great little tool, and it works, plugs right in. I even have a connector now, a Thunderbolt connector on it, which is really kind of nice.
Well, Apple changed some of their infrastructure now where you can plug any USB mic. As long as it's class compliant, it will work.
Yeah, I use my AT2020 all the time. If my computer isn't available, if I'm rendering something or whatever, I'll just take the Apple Connection Kit, which is basically USB to Lightning,
right?
And I'll plug it right in, and it sounds beautiful.
If you ever want a good test as to what's more important, the acoustics or the mic, set up in your studio, have your iPhone and your $10,000 signal chain, and record the same thing. With both things and put the mic in the, you know, good placement, but do another one with your iPhone.
Yeah.
And listen to them. It's not going to be exactly the same, but I think you'll be shocked, actually.
I did a shootout. One of the Viotagogo blog entries was, which is it? Is this an iPhone or is it an AT2020 USB Plus?
Right.
You know, I could have done it with the Neumann, but that would have been unfair to the Neumann.
Well,
as we say, you know, people are always asking, what's the best microphone for voiceover? And I'm usually like, one got, probably, depending
on. One you have, as long as it's not broken.
Yeah, as long as it's not broken.
One of the things that I've noticed is that people are finally agreeing with something that I said, I think, maybe 5 years ago when we were doing the SAG things.
Yeah.
The better microphone you have, the better room you better have.
Absolutely.
Because if you decide that the AT2020 USB Plus just isn't good enough for your brand of voiceover,
right,
then your booth or your room or wherever you're recording, if you're going to go out and get that Neumann U87,
yeah,
it better rock. You better have a noise floor of minus 90. You better have complete silence because it'll pick up that, you know, the mouse fart in the corner, right? Mm-hmm. So,
or ants marching.
Ants marching,
that sort of thing. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
Everything's dependent on the acoustics of your room. So what goes into developing an app? I mean, you're like, well, I want to have this. And you like picked up, you like typed in Who Does Apps or
no, way it started was I was in an online think tank group and I asked for referrals from people who had friends. And one of the guys was a developer. And he said, I know a guy. I'll put you in touch. And he happened to be a Heroes fan. And so I was very lucky that I found somebody. I can see people getting very frustrated about the cost and the availability of iOS developers and Android developers. They are among the most in demand, and so they become the most, some of them, arrogant. And also, there's an awful lot of people that say they can do things that they just can't do. So my developers now, I'm very happy with. They're great guys, and they understand the business because some of them are have been working with me for so long that they get what's going on. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we're going to get some questions from our audience.
All right.
They were scattered about the fruited plain.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit more about it, and we'll talk more about Rehearsal.pro with David H. Lawrence the 17th right after this.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Voice Over Body Shop, where you can learn everything from mic technique to how to market your voiceover business to acting your way out of a wet paper sack, which is my favorite, by the way.
Oh, let me cut that. There we go.
Thank you. All right. See, problems like that happen because maybe you don't have the right equipment or you're not using it right. So one of the things you can do is go over to voiceoveressentials.com and make sure you have the best equipment, because Harlan Hogan at voiceoveressentials.com has gone out there and has found all the best stuff. And if he couldn't find the best stuff, he made it himself, like the VO1A voice-optimized microphone, the Portabooth Plus, the Portabooth Pro, things that'll help you out with your recording studio. Also, my favorite, the ABS, the thing that'll hold your boom up. And the headphones, of course. So he's done all that kind of stuff, and he's if he couldn't find it, he made it himself. But the great thing about it is he also has other things there that can help you out, especially books. If you like to read books, one of the things he has is great voiceover books. You can find stuff by a number of prominent voice actors who've written some really great books, including Harlem himself. And along with his engineer, Jeff Fisher, that was a very popular one and still is and gets updated and talks about how to optimize your studio and how to do it on the road and that sort of thing. So go over to voiceoveressentials.com. And the best way to do that is to go to the bottom of our page right down there. And there's a picture of Harlan talking into his Portabooth Pro. And you click on that, takes you right to their website and just browse and peruse all the great stuff he has. Buy it. He guarantees it. Great shipping options. You can send it back if you don't like it, which I think is virtually impossible, but you never know. Go over to voiceoveressentials.com and buy Harlan's stuff. And thanks for being our sponsor for, it seems like, a millennia, but not quite.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some voiceover with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology.
Business.
And good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
And we're back with Teenage Lawrence 17.
That's another thing my girlfriend hates is when I do DJ mode.
Yeah.
And we're back. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm like, what? I'm just making fun of what I used to do for a living.
Right. Me too,
I don't care. I'm not dating somebody like that. So,
little late.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, you know. And when, you know, you guys, you know, remember who the real Bob James was? From radio? Yeah. So he's like one of my best friends. And he'll call up and he'll go, hey, what's happening? And she goes, don't do that.
That's right. Fun, though.
Try, do the nighttime jazz disc jockey. Maybe she'll like
that. Oh, yeah.
It's 28 degrees here in the city.
She likes that one. Yeah. She likes that guy.
My landlord is on 94.7 The Wave.
Oh.
26.
Oh, yeah.
Do,
very nice. She's great.
All righty. Well, we've got some great questions here.
Questions.
I'll start.
How much time do we have?
Man, we can wrap the clock if you want, but it's up to you.
We're
man.
Not on a network.
All right, great.
Yeah. The first one's from J. Christopher Dunn. Did he email this in advance?
He did.
I think so. Which do you find more challenging, screen acting or voice acting? That's the first question. There's a second one, but maybe you can answer that
so
one.
So I think I teach one of the classes that I teach is called Mutual Muscles, and I really push back. There was a thread going on one of the groups this past weekend. It's like, you know, you got to take acting classes if you want to learn how to be an audiobook narrator, which is true. But don't take on-camera or stage acting classes. Take voiceover acting classes. And I just don't agree. I think that the storytelling skills that you develop are the storytelling skills that you develop. And there'll be technical differences between working a camera versus working a microphone versus working a live audience. But the actual connection with the story, it is exactly the same. And the way, and if you get better at doing voiceover work, you're going to get better at doing on-camera work, vice versa. Commercials, you know, commercials are the most stressful in terms of the sort of the micro moments that you need to achieve. There's one commercial I did where the director was just like, less, less, even less. You know, and the line was, don't do it, kid. And the first time I thought I was pretty, you know, he's like, are you going to go buy that trombone over there or are you going to get a really cool guitar? And I said, don't do it, kid. And the guy goes, oh, no, much less. And I'm like, what? So, you know, it just depends. It depends on how closely you're mic'd. It depends on how close the shot is. It depends on a lot of things. So I love all of it. And I don't find any of it an inordinate challenge. I find all of it an amazingly satisfying experience. I come away from doing a 4-day audiobook or a 1-hour commercial or a 3-day guest star on network television with this just pumped up, awesome feeling of accomplishment. Mm. So
maybe it's because some of the acting coaching for voiceover is really voice overacting coaching.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into that mire. I'm not going to muck about down there. Yeah. You know, I think that, you can learn a lot from watching everybody work in every discipline of our business.
Yeah.
And you can steal things left and right. You know, Picasso said, great artists borrow, good artists borrow, great artists steal.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and you should. You should steal outright from everybody you know and make it your own.
Right.
You know, when I was growing up in radio, all I wanted to do was be Rick Dees. Right? And then I found my voice. And my voice helped me become successful, not Rick Dees' voice. But he was my inspiration. He's why I wanted to be in radio. Same with Bob James.
Yep.
So, you know, you get inspired and then you sort of take what you can from what you love about what they do, if it's appropriate for you, and then, you know, you just incorporate it into your own brand. So
and it really is about finding your own voice.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
and the best way to do that is do a talk show. Because in a talk show, you can't puke your way through the lines.
That's right.
If you're talking about abortion or gun control or Hillary versus Trump, you cannot do anything but yell in your own voice.
Right.
You can't. There's no time for you to think about, how do I make this sound like a rock and roll DJ?
Right.
So
yeah, there's no liner cards.
No.
You know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Maybe you might get the liner cards for the time and temperature or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then generally you like sort of float back into the, all right, we've got callers coming up. And then you're like, okay, but then.
Yeah, but then you're like right into, you're falling out of it. What was the second question he had?
Oh, the second one, I forgot to ask it, actually. Sorry about that. Kind of, actually, it speaks to a little bit about what you're talking about. You know, it's about being believable. This question is very open-ended.
Yeah,
what makes an actor believable to you?
So I'm going to take a moment and relieve myself all over method actors. But the idea of you having to feel something, you having to have that feeling inside you of pain or loss or sexiness or death or whatever it is, doesn't matter one bit. What matters is, does the audience feel what you want them to feel? And sometimes that takes very counterintuitive measures. If you want someone to be sad, don't be bawling all over the place, because nobody has a really good, bawling face. You know, the crying face on most people is very ugly. But that moment just prior to tears, that moment where you're trying to hold back and you have the audience just waiting for you to burst into tears, that's the moment where they get sad. That's the moment where they feel that pain or that loss. And then, comedy, it's like you just play it straight. You don't play it for comedy. You don't ever play. Poor Gene Wilder passed away today. Three years of Alzheimer's disease. And the one legacy among many that he leaves behind is that every character he played it as though they were absolutely real. It's kind of strange. I play a video game on my iPhone called Wonka Slots. And they use all these lines from the movie. And you hear him saying these lines very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And with no bent towards, let's make this funny. He just played it for what they were, and that's what made it funny, right? Oh, yeah. So, with comedy, you really have to play it exactly the same way you play drama. Your character wants something, and it's not funny to them, but it may be hysterical to you. So you as the audience.
What? You have to be earnest, I guess.
Yeah, you have to be connected. And I really like those scones on Ant Farm.
No, absolutely.
Love those scones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jackson Daniel asks, can David talk about ADR work?
Sure.
Who, what, if possible? I mean, it's kind of a local thing here in Southern Cal.
Absolutely.
To really do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it in Des Moines. I mean, you could.
You could do it for locally produced Des Moines. Films, or if they're doing something shot there and they decide to do ADR there.
No, but not usually, that there's anything wrong with Des Moines.
Nothing. Especially West Des Moines.
Yes.
West Des Moines is so much hipper and more goth than Central Des Moines. Anyway, so I work with Barbara Harris. I'm in Barbara Harris's, looping group, and, I've got probably 50 films with her under my belt. Last one I worked on was Straight Outta Compton. Actually, I did another one that I can't talk about. NDA, yeah. But, if you told me 4 or 5 years ago, hey, you're going to have all these films, really big films, I'm the voice of the computer on Men in Black 3, the computer at headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't like a go out and get cast as that from the casting office that was doing the on-camera casting. It happened to be they wanted me to do ADR work, automatic dialogue replacement, automatic dialogue replacement, recording, whatever you want to do. But basically, it's looping. It's adding material to or replacing a material in a production to make it more realistic. If you watch Percy Jackson, I'm one of the crazy ghouls coming out of the fireplace, stuff. And you find yourself doing all kinds of things that you didn't expect yourself to do. And it's lovely work. There's no stress. There's nobody's making you scream efforts for 5 hours for a video game. You're not going, and I got to do play by play for one. I got to do a lot of news people. That's how I came into Barbara's sort of world, was she wanted me to do a promo voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so live, local, late breaking, eyewitness news, mm-hmm. And I think I got it because I pronounce news with a Y.
News.
Yes. So, ADR work is lovely. You start work at first thing in the morning, you work till 5, you go home, Mm-hmm. You have a family life, and you get residuals. Friday is my favorite day of the week, because that's when the envelopes arrive from SAG-AFTRA. I love that day. I love Friday. I'd marry you Friday. I would, if I wasn't dating somebody already. I would date you Friday. Anyway, so I don't know if that answers the question, but I think that covered it pretty good.
Oh, yeah. You filled a minute or two.
Yeah.
What?
You filled a minute or two.
Okay, that's my job. That's my job here, is to fill a minute or two. You tell me how much you want me to fill, and I'll take care of it.
We got a few minutes left.
Yeah, good. Okay.
We got a lot more questions.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Paul Stefano says, question for David. How did he come up with a character or the character he had in Heroes?
Mm.
Based on anybody you know?
Maybe. The character is defined for you when you work in television. I mean, you do some things to make it your own, and certainly some of the head nods and the attitude and the little tics and stuff that he has, it's just basically me. But I do remember a lot of people coming. I could hear a lot of people in the room the day that I was auditioning. And when I walked into that room, I recognized every single person in the room. Like, they had really famous creepy evil villains in that room to come in for this part. And I'm like, what am I doing here? I know what I'm here for. I'm here to act on a Tuesday. It happened to be a Thursday, but I'd act on a Thursday at 11:45 in the morning. One thing I noticed is that they were really loud in the audition space, and I didn't have that take on the script. In fact, my take on the script was very under my voice.
Yeah.
And when I was doing it, I did one take of it, and the director, there were 11 people in the audition space. 11 people. That's 11 people more than is usually there, plus the casting director, right? So there were people from NBC, there were people from the show, there was a showrunner, the writers, the director. And the director was Greg. He's like, I love what you're doing, but I don't think the camera's picking it up, and we have to share this. We have to send this to the network for them to approve it. And I'm like, okay, we're very far along the path, aren't we?
Yeah.
Scoot your chair like half the distance to the microphone. Really, really give me a nice tight close-up and do exactly what you just did. Mm-hmm. So I did the exact thing, and I noticed just off to the right of the camera, this woman went, at the end. And I said, either it's cold in here,
or you nailed it,
or I really creeped her out.
Yeah.
And on the car ride home, I got a call from my agent saying, call your kids, other than this one guy who's on vacation and has to approve you, and he'll be back on Monday, you're going to be on Heroes. And I didn't tell anybody anything until it was absolutely positively, done. Because, you just can't do that. Everything is so beyond your control. So the answer to your question is, it was just what I saw in the script. And again, I had gotten some coaching that, evil villains, creepy evil villains, they don't get exercised over much. They're in control. They don't get all bent out of shape until that last moment, like in the Night Manager.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch Night Manager?
Not all of it, no.
Oh.
I didn't catch the end.
Oh, Richard Roper gets his comeuppance.
Oh,
it's awesome.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, well, you didn't think that. So it wasn't all about, there were lots of people that I just think were really overplaying it. And I also noticed how many people were in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they would walk in and be kind of taken aback by that number of people, I was like, oh, welcome to my audition, everybody. Thank you. And so that just like set the tone for the room, and it was great, and it worked out, and everything is beautiful.
And that was a great role.
It was.
Very, very memorable.
Yeah.
This one came from J.S. Gilbert, and the question is, what's the one job in acting that you wished that you had gotten? And then what future gig would you like to have?
Wow.
The usual answer is the last one I had and the next one that I get. Right?
I don't know that I've ever... I don't get disappointed when I don't get work.
Yeah.
Because I know that so much is beyond my control.
Yeah.
You just do what you can do, and you do the best you can, and if you're right for the part, then you'll be considered for it. If you're not, well, you got a chance to come in and act on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So... the part I would really like isn't really a voiceover part, but it might be. Who knows? My goal in my career is an inside industry phrase. I want to be number one on the call sheet Monday through Friday. And what that means is you're the star of the show. You're carrying the show. If it's the Drew Carey show, Drew Carey is number one on the call sheet. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what a call sheet is, it's the list of actors and crew that are being called to set to produce the work. And so being number one on the call sheet means you're carrying the show. You're responsible for it living and dying in many cases. You know, if you're not doing all that well, chances are the show won't last. And if you're doing fantastic, there's a chance it could go on for season after season. So that's my goal in terms of where I am. A lot of people, like I remember going to a casting workshop after I'd gotten Heroes on a number of other shows, and a guy walking up to me all pissed off going, "What are you doing here? Huh? You got your chance at the brass ring and you grabbed it. Why don't you let somebody else get into this sold-out workshop?" And I'm like, dude, wow. I'd never met this casting director before, and so I wanted to meet her. And I don't know what your horizon is, your event horizon in terms of your goals, but mine is a little bit further out than that. And so I have a lot of work to do, and it has nothing to do with taking somebody else's slot.
Right.
But that whole idea that some actors have this idea that if they just get that one credit, that'll be great. Right. That one moment that they can be, you know... And frankly, I've been presented with things that I never thought I'd be. You know, I never thought I'd be playing, Mole Man on Hulk and the Agents of Smash. You know, all the other Mole Man, I'm like, wait, why don't you get them? They've done it before, you know. And that was great. So anyway, what you're pointing at?
Stuff. And that was the question that that Jackson Daniels could ask. What VO gig have you had that you thought you were totally wrong for, and how did it actually
like every
go?
Radio job I ever had in the beginning? Yeah. I was like, you don't want me. You want somebody who knows more than I do, don't you? You want to put your radio station in my hands?
I'm a fraud.
But yeah. But I learned very early to get rid of that whole I'm a fraud thing. Like someday they're going to discover me and they're going to yank me out. I'm going, we've made a huge, terrible mistake. You come with me.
Right.
So I don't worry about that.
Of course, when it's happened to you a few times, it makes you a little more weary. But
okay. I didn't know that happened to you a few times.
It happens. Sad. I was a lot of years in broadcasting.
Got it. Okay.
You know, we're going in another direction. As they like to
oh,
say.
Yeah. Oh, that's happened.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's one of my favorite stories ever.
Yeah.
But I'll save it for another time.
Okay.
Keep wanting more, man.
Okay. All right, next question from Maxine Dunn. What topic did you speak on at the NAB show? Would also love to hear about your premium podcasting.
What did I speak on? I mean, I've spoken on a number of things. I spoke on podcasting. I spoke on comedic production. I've spoken on automation. I did my show from the NAB, so we actually did it was one of the few shows on broadcast radio and on satellite that could actually talk about the technology that was going on there, and I did it from one of the broadcast automation companies. The Canadian broadcast automation companies are the best, that was running my studio, and I did it from their booth. So, I've done a number of things. Last time I was there, I was the host of the Podcast Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lovely time doing that when Dr. Drew couldn't make it because he was very busy going over Hillary Clinton's health records. actually, it was long before that. I've spoken a number of times at and the last time I spoke at a convention was at Social Media World, and I talked about being authentic. Because if you can fake being authentic... How authentic is that?
I know.
Huh? Sorry, I don't know what I'm saying.
The key to
I need
being
sleep. I think I just flew in from Minneapolis. By the way, I'm speaking in Minneapolis on Art, Commerce, and Science in October for a group of internet marketers.
Lovely town.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Beautiful place.
Lovely.
Lots of lakes.
Yeah.
This one's from Devox.
Devox.
Yeah, Devox. What's the most technically difficult thing that you've had to coach on or teach, and what makes it so difficult? Is it a particular acting skill or a technical thing?
I think a lot of people tend to overthink the idea of the better version of themselves.
Mm.
Like, everything's going fine, and then all of a sudden a mic is placed in front of you, or a camera is placed in front of you, and you think, oh, I'm not good enough, so I need to create a better version of myself to be good enough. And nothing could be further from the truth. I have a disagreement with, just a friendly disagreement with a local demo producer who insists that he wants to create a better version of you with the demos. Well, if you do that, you run the risk of getting into an audition situation where somebody who's heard your demos has expectations of durability.
That here now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you can't reproduce that falling out of bed, then you need to either get better skills or not intimate that with a demo. And, you know, mm-hmm. people will disagree, whatever. But truthfully, your natural voice that you use, getting up in the morning, having lunch with a friend, a drink at the bar, whatever it is, that's the voice that is going to carry you through to more success than the, certainly more than the pukey DJ voice or the creepy voice or whatever it is that you want to do. That version of yourself that you bring to the party, your brand, your natural approach, people are like, well, I don't know what the casting people want, so I have to figure out what they want. And the truth is, all you have to figure out is your brand. And you bring your brand, there's a good chance you could surprise the crap out of a casting person who didn't expect you. They Yep. expected what they put in the breakdown or what they put in the notes, but then you come along snapping your gum, being, you know, a sarcastic bitch, and all of a sudden you get cast as the cashier as opposed to the one that they originally says was preppy and happy and you know, and all of a sudden you turn it on, your brand, you win. So that's probably the biggest thing from a technical perspective, talking people down off the ledge when it comes to their breaths and their mouth noises and their sibilances. Everybody thinks because voiceover coaches, you know, they have to earn their keep. So they're like, you have to work on your sibilances. They're way too harsh. And those mouth noises, oh my God. And we have to do something about your breaths. Make sure you take. And I'm like, what are you kidding me? Those are the things that are the natural, you know, easy entryway into you being authentic. And if you start monkeying with that, you all of a sudden start to add an artificiality to your performance that didn't exist when you just recorded, you know? Mm. Now, yes, there are some people who a lot of spit forms in the corner of their mouth, and there may be some things that they can do that. But the idea that you worry about those things and, oh my God, they're not going to accept me, that audition that I sent in because I have all the, you know what? Concentrate on your storytelling and nobody's going to notice, right? Yeah, when you kill it, they're like, wow. Nobody's going to say, wow, what about all that mouth noise? Nobody says that. They're like, when can we get her in for the session?
Right.
So, yeah.
Very cool.
Two more questions.
All right.
Let's do Maxine and then Devox.
Yeah.
Question, this is from Maxine Dunn. Question for David, if there's time. Yes, there is. Is there a big difference between working as a commentator for Brit television versus American television stations?
Ah, so where it says, apparently Maxine's been reading my CV or my bio. The BBC also has radio as a service. They have five main commentator for BBC Five, Up All Night, which was their all-night news here, you know, it was like 4 in the afternoon, but there it was midnight. And I would do tech from L.A. and from D.C. when I was there. There's no difference. In fact, I've done work for Radio 3, which is their one of their drama channel. They have drama shows, you know, like they still do radio drama in the UK. Mm-hmm. And I always play the angry American. That's my job, is to play the angry American. Why can't you guys cook your eggs here? I mean, you know, it's like runny. And that's, you say, is well done? Really? You know, that's the kind of stuff that they would have me do. But in terms of commentary, you know, they didn't ask me to, you know, do anything different than I would here. And in fact, if anything, it's longer form. It's more like NPR is here. So instead of, you know, 38 seconds and out for a soundbite,
right.
You know, I was on for like 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. Kind of like VOBS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But so, a little longer than that.
Yeah.
Finally, from Devox and Mike Martin, important question because you're here. Is there a Windows Android version of Rehearsal.pro?
No and no.
Okay.
Yeah.
No Windows or Android.
Yeah, here's the thing.
There's a reason for that.
Android, it's a blood sport to crack paid apps within minutes.
Yeah.
So they basically have different hacker crews just waiting for especially an app like mine, which is $20.
Right.
They're like all over that, like white on rice. And Google doesn't care.
Right.
It's also about four times as expensive to develop for the Android market.
Mm-hmm.
And Android in general does not handle manipulation of PDFs, which is required,
mm-hmm.
and manipulation of audio all that well compared to iOS.
Right. Yeah.
So all those things combined, it's not a good business decision for me. Plus, in the professional community, which is really what I'm aimed at, I love it when students use my stuff. I love it when community players use my stuff, when amateurs use my stuff, because it will help them too. But I have to keep my eye on the main avatar for my customers, and that is the professional actor working in a production center like New York or right. Nashville or Los Angeles. And so I have to make sure that they are served first and foremost, and almost an overwhelming number have selected, as a subgroup, have selected iOS as their main platform as opposed to Android. The less money you make in the business, the more likely it is that you have an Android. And I'm not making fun of anybody. Right. I'm just saying, struggling actors often have Android because it's less expensive and they're on a budget. Right. But then eventually they get either an iPad or an iPhone. And I've had a lot of people who said, you know, I use an Android phone, but I bought an iPad so I could use your app, which was lovely.
And Apple loves
compliment.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where, if someone wants Rehearsal.pro, how do they go there?
So
I think it's
the
pretty
app
easy.
Is called Rehearsal Pro.
Rehearsal Pro.
And it's available at rehearsal.pro.
Okay.
Yeah. / downloads or whatever. Well, you'll get there. You'll understand.
Okay.
It's in the iTunes store. It's $20. You pay one time. You're done.
Wow.
And you get support from me. I'm the guy that's writing you back. And it's rehearsal.pro.
Right on.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And that's our commercial for rehearsal.pro.
Okay.
This week. David. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Do this I do what great. They do on the nighttime talk shows and get up too early to leave?
No.
Because they do that all the time. Stephen Colbert in particular has to go, no, sit. Let me just lean in so I can say something nondescript to you. You know,
they can't get out of there fast enough.
Really. Alrighty. Well, we'll be right back and tie things up right after this.
Online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
I actually do have a pair of Bluetooth.
Sorry,
that's okay. Hey, everybody!
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
VoiceOver Body Shop. Learn the latest in voiceover technology. Learn how to get rid of that. VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, on VOBS.us.
VoiceOver Body Shop, where you can learn everything from mic technique to how to market your voiceover business to acting your way out of a wet paper sack, which is my favorite, by the way.
Hey,
we are back, and I have to tell you that I've got a webinar coming up.
That's great, man.
VoiceOver Extra.
VoiceOver Extra.
On September 7th, we're going to talk about the stuff that you and I talk about all the time, and that is processing. So if you want to learn some more of the basics about, you know, EQ and compression and all those things that people talk about and think is going to make the difference and turn them from... You know, from somebody who sounds like a little kid into, you know,
the voice of God,
or like David H. Lawrence the 17th.
Right,
it ain't gonna happen. It's about something else, and I'm gonna talk about that on September 7th. Go over to voiceoverextra.com and you can sign up there.
Excellent, man.
Be a good time.
Cool.
All right.
Well, when we were going on, I just noticed that there were a couple questions while I was running that video about Allison Packard's studio. And so I thought I would just share a little those questions and my answers real quick. So Devox asks about that booth. How large is that? 10 by 12 feet? Yes. You are a very good guesstimator via internet. I don't know how you figured that out. But yeah, it's exactly 10 by 12 feet because that is the maximum non-permitted construction size in Los Angeles, or at least Toluca Lake, where the studio is. So that's why they chose that size. I probably saved a bunch of money and a heck of a lot of time getting it permitted. We didn't have to permit it, but it was still built to very high standards. If you saw how over-engineered that place was. It was over-engineered.
There was a lot in there.
Anthony says, what boom did you use that is supporting the two mics at once? It's just a regular radio-style boom like we're using here in the studio. I just added a second little clamp. It is actually kind of a hack. You can a lot of pop screens have this little metal arm that bolts onto the side of your mic stand, and then it has a gooseneck. You unscrew the gooseneck, and left behind is a 5/8-inch mic mount. You screw that to the side of the existing mic, and boom, you've got a second mic mount. And the arm, a 416 is not that heavy, so it's pretty easy to sidecar that thing alongside another mic, and that's what we did there.
And boom, you have a boom.
Boom, you have boom. You got double boom. Double mic on a single boom.
All right.
Last question about the studio, and this is one I can't answer, but I can ballpark it. What was the total cost? I don't know, because I wasn't the contractor, and I didn't pay the, I didn't write the last check, but it was...
expensive.
The upper half of... it was more than 50,000. Let's put it that way. More than 50, less than 100. That's what I can tell you.
Okay.
That's what I can tell you. It was quite a project.
All righty. Well, we got lots of great stuff coming up.
Yeah, man.
On our show. Like next week, we have Labor Day, and we're not going to be here.
Yay!
We're taking Labor Day off because we've been laboring at this show for months and months and months, and we want to have some hot dogs and not be bothered. And then the following week, we are...
Christy Bowen.
Christy Bowen will be joining us from Nashville. Mm-hmm. She's a voice actor, a WOWA member. She lives in Middle America. You wanted to hear how one can be successful without being in L.A. or New York City? Be here September 12th, and she'll tell us how.
Well, we might be moving this one around because I'm going to be out of town. On the 19th, I'm going to be on the show,
right?
But I will be in Colorado, so we might shift around. But we have slated to be on the show right now a lot of guests over the next few weeks, including Sylvia Villagran. Mm-hmm. She's going to be on in the next few weeks.
Big star.
Brian Summer and Harlan Hogan. And we've got a bunch of others we're talking to be on the show. And we will eventually get another roundtable in.
Yep.
We're going to do like a WOVO tech committee.
Right.
Roundtable.
Right.
So the dates on those are solidifying. Just stay tuned. We'll
October 3rd, we're taking off Rosh Hashanah this year. It just happens to fall on VOBS.
Oh, man.
So we get another week off there. Yep. But we're thinking about this thing in
November.
We're going to do studio month. We're going to hopefully get around to a couple of big studios and do the show from there.
Big, small, basically the studios that really influence the voiceover community that are so heavily talked about and used. So the list is formulating. We'll announce it when we have them all booked, but there'll be remotes.
That will
be fun.
We're
going to do remotes all month. Right. Thanks to having Andrew here in the studio, we can do something that crazy.
Outstanding.
We're going to do that. It's going to be fun.
All right. Donors of the week?
Donors of the week. We've got another big batch of donors, which I do not have loaded on the webpage right now to look at. So you're going to have to go on while I find
we'll
those.
We'll talk about
the next thing.
Yes. We talked about going over to our store. And if you're at the webpage, just click on, go to the store, that red banner that's like right over here somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some great stuff there, like the shower curtain and the coffee mug.
The shower
mug.
Curtain is not great.
Okay. Yeah. It's just a shower curtain with a little logo in there.
It's hilariously bad. If anybody buys that and takes a picture of it, I'll come up with something good. All right, but if you buy that shower curtain, take a picture of yourself in front of it. Do something because it's freaking hilarious.
Yeah, make sure.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, we've got donations from Antland Productions. Always finding another way to get a mention on the show. Shanna Pennington Baird, Eric Aragoni, never misses a show. Greg Thomas, thanks, guys.
Great.
Monthly donation from Greg. Wow. And we got more coming in from... This one, I can't find the name. Mike Martin. Thanks, Mike.
Oh, Mike.
He's been a friend of the show for a long time. Donna Birdsall and Patty Gibbons.
Oh,
and
great people.
Wow.
Not only are they generous, but they're nice people to start with.
And my dad.
Wow. Thanks,
I'm convinced George. Some of these people haven't figured out how to cancel. That's just why they keep donating.
No,
money.
Maybe they really don't want to cancel because they don't want to cancel us. All righty. What's going on at Edge?
Man, well, there's a lot going on at Edge right now. I have a spreadsheet that tells you what's going on at Edge. Let's see if I load it and see what if there's something new to tell you guys about. But I will say that there's a lot of webinars going on, and pretty much the best way to always know what's going on is to follow us at Edge Studio on Twitter. Just follow us on at Edge Studio Twitter. That's going to have the latest things. That's the best place to go. Go check it out.
All righty. Show logs. Got to hang out with Jack DeGolia this weekend.
Nice man.
Nice guy. We had a great time talking, and you know, and he's like, I'm not going to stop writing. You guys keep talking. Jack. I'm going to keep writing.
Thank you, man.
All right. Podcast on Stitcher Reader, iTunes, ewabs.podbean.com.
And if you do listen to the podcast, a lot of you do, more than listen than watch, then come to vobs.tv once in a while and see what we look like and stuff.
Yeah.
If you want to. It's maybe you just don't want to know. Hey,
not tonight. Maybe maybe this might be a better podcast version. That's right. Let's see. Send in your VO for the opening promo because Michelle Talley did it tonight.
Oh, cool. That's who that was.
Yes.
Nice work.
So send it in. You know, I had to post on YouTube the actual opening, but I think we're going to recut the opening.
Okay.
It's been on a year. It's time to we've had new people on the show, new experiences here in Southern California.
It's time.
We'll redo it, and maybe I'll get that shot of the Hollywood sign right this time.
The one we really want.
The one we really want.
The copter shot.
That's right. Let's see. Want to be in our studio? There's people in our studio tonight.
Yeah, we've got
We have Reen here tonight.
Yay,
so
Reen,
get the studio shot there.
Is that
Andy.
Studio shot functioning?
There we go. All right.
Yay! All she's right. in there.
You know, and the dogs and all the other people. They're always there. So you get to pet the dogs. They're cute dogs when you come to the studio.
Carrots and hummus.
That's right.
And thanks, hummus. Harlan, for sponsoring us.
Edge Studios.
And VO Extra.
Source Elements.
And VO2GoGo, as well as the Rehearsal Pro. .pro, the Rehearsal App.
Rehearsal App. .pro. Right. Yeah. Rehearsal Pro. Okay.
No.
Rehearsal.
Rehearsal. Pro is the website. The app is Rehearsal Pro.
Very good.
Remember.
I've been rehearsing it.
You've done it.
Our good friend, Wright, Antland Productions, for providing this uninterrupted live stream. Let's see. We need to thank Marcy for letting us do this out here in the garage every week. Our producer,
thank
Catherine
you.
Curran, for booking fabulous guests like David H. Lawrence the 17th. Jack DeGolia, we thanked. Anthony, great job in the chat room tonight. You know, and our floor producer, Andrew Bushwitz, doing a fabulous
Yay!
Job. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Tonight, we'll be off next week for Labor Day, so don't labor about it, but we'll return on the 12th.
All right, man.
All right. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us once again for another episode of VoiceOver Body Shop.
Fighting broke out overnight for Sunday's Indian.
What do you want to watch tonight?
I don't know. I mean, the same stuff's always on all the time.
Oh, I am so sick of American Pickers. What about VOBS?
Yes! Oh my gosh, you just read my mind! That's perfect!
I want to watch it because you know why? They've got the best BS about VO.
VOBS. Mondays, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on VOBS.us.